Good morning. I was expecting my daughter, son-in-law, and grandson to be here this morning. Ryers, too, and they were over for the weekend, but my daughter came down with a terrible cold, and they're heading back early, so they apologize for not being present. But the joke kind of reflects on, there was this young preacher, you know, and when you're young, you know how you look at the world. So every year he preached at least once, he would preach on rules for good parenting. But then he got married and had kiddos, and he changed the sermon title to Suggestions for Good Parenting. And then his kids got to be teenagers, and he stopped preaching on it altogether. Wisdom comes with age. Amen? Good morning to all of you. We are gathered here this morning, beautiful morning for worship, and to gather ourselves in preparation for the week that's coming up. So be aware that we are closed on Monday, Indigenous Persons Day. I'm not sure now what it's technically called. What? Columbus Day, Indigenous Day, Monday. So, however that may be, so we won't be in the office. Celebrated. Hope you are celebrating your heritages and all of that. A couple of things to be aware of. Linda Emerson suggested, and we are going to do an All Saints Day tribute on the first Sunday in November. You see it on the back of your bulletin. If you've lost someone in the last year, we want you to just name them, and then we can read, this is in honor of so-and-so by their children, such and such. So just a brief review there. We will acknowledge those that we've lost that are members as well, and we will read those. We are having a church ad council, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, and we'll remind you again then. And then our church conference, as you see, is listed in November 15th. So those are some of the things coming up by way of different agenda items. Ensemble is rehearsing. This will resume on the 12th. Okay. You see the doctors are back, but they've changed their tan. They're having aloha tan, so you can walk up to them and be jealous if you like. We celebrate all those. What other announcements do we need to make by way of the order? Deb Gunther is here, and she is masked, but that's still her. And so she's incognito.
Thank you. I just want to remind everybody that this week, Thursday, is the last of the crop fundraisers at Great Greek Restaurant on Colfax and Potomac. And then next weekend, anybody that can help on Saturday or Friday night for the clothing giveaway, we'll start setting up Saturday morning, probably 8:30. And then, so the clothing giveaway is Saturday. The crop walk is Sunday afternoon at 1:30 at Triple Creek Trailhead, which is on Colfax and Tower. Please join us if you can, and thank you.
All right. And Deb said she was exposed to something, so she is wearing a mask to protect us. Thank you, Debbie. Other announcements? Thanks for the good of the order. Preparations as we prepare to begin this week. All right. Saying none. Let's stand. Wave hello to one another.
Peter, I got an announcement.
Wait, hold on. Ellen?
The microphone notice.
I'm sorry. Ellen had something.
I suppose. As the email came out, I am selling pecans right now. I got a short window. They're $13 for a one-pound bag, and I have to leave shortly after church. You can always call me or grab me right after church. And pretty much, they're pecans from Alabama. Thanks.
Okay. Pecans, $13 for, it's a benefit for.
It's on the bottom.
Alan, who did they make the check out to? Okay, PEO if you've done it ahead of time, but if not, make it out to Ellen Doctor for timing purposes. Okay. If you are following us online, it's as confused here as it is there. So we're just trying to get that straightened out. And so thank you all for joining us online. There's a lot of you that watch. I've talked to many people now that are present with us, and we need to be aware of that. As we're sitting here, we need to be aware of them wherever they are joining us, and they need to know that we are holding them prayerfully. So we celebrate everyone gathered. Let's stand, greet one another, and turn to our call to worship.
Get in there.
Maybe seated.
No. Oh. Remain standing for the call to worship.
Oh, remain standing for the call to worship. Praise the Lord.
Give
thanks for the goodness of the Lord when steadfast love endures forever. Who can utter the mighty doings of the Lord? Happy are those who observe justice, who do righteousness at all times. Grant that we may see the prosperity of your chosen ones. Precious Lord, grant that we may rejoice in gladness as we worship you. The first hymn is on page 496 in your hymnal, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
My soul has often found.
The first Bible reading is from the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29, 1 and 4 through 7. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people who Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles whom I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease, but seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Miss Sandy. By way of prayers of concern, on the back of the bulletin, you see some of the concerns in our midst. Those continue. I talked to Barb Stevens. She is doing very well. Her speech was the first and most thing affected by her stroke. And if you know Barbara, that's a pretty serious stroke to lose her speech. She is a good conversationalist, but she was... sounded perfect to me, so we're grateful that she is recovering well. I believe she's at home. I'm sure she's at home, yeah. I don't know if they're in the offices or not. Paya, did you have more information there?
I visited her yesterday with Donald, and she's doing good.
Okay, at home?
Yes.
Okay, she's at home and doing good, okay. So we lift them. Other concerns, persons you are aware of? I want to make sure that we continue to remember all of those impacted by hurricanes, and then we have another hurricane now crossing the Isthmus area, turning into a, started with a J, what was it? Nobody knows? It was a male name, but I'll call it Jill, because I don't remember the name of the hurricane that is stirring there. It appears to be crossing to the Pacific side and might loop around and come up. We'll have to see what happens there. So those people that have been impacted, certainly Florida took a huge blow, and those persons are still struggling to get services back. But keep in mind, Puerto Rico has still not recovered from hurricanes in the years past. So we need to be aware of not only those who have abilities to recover, but those who are still without. So Puerto Rico, Cuba, and all those other places, we want to lift them. I want to lift prayers of concern about military drumbeats from Russia and for the threats of nuclear involvement. Those are worrisome. Other prayers concerned. By way of celebrations, we celebrated Suzanne Marquez last Sunday. Tom Larson had a good birthday this Tuesday. Did you get lots of good presents, Thomas? Got spoiled well, very well. This coming week, Holly and Bob Armstrong celebrating an anniversary, 42 years. Happy anniversary to you. Monica Mathias has a birthday on Wednesday. Samu Makoni, going to be 11 on Thursday. Perry and Ruby Moore, I see them celebrating 65 years on Thursday. And next Sunday, Jonathan Burvey. How old is Jonathan going to be?
31.
Okay. So those are the birthdays I have and anniversaries I have recorded. Do you know of others? Okay. I'm not aware of any.
Any other prayer concerns? Any other things you'd like to lift as our community gathered before the Lord? Let's turn to our unison prayer and read in. Read responsively. Loving God, hear our prayer. O God, our Creator, we give you thanks and praise for the richness of creation you have given us and the glory of the abundant world you entrusted to us. In the midst of awesome abundance and harvest, remind us to notice and appreciate the wonders of ordinary blessings. Help us to see and appreciate all your wondrous gifts and to not only take, but to give back in Jesus' name. I invite you to a moment of silent meditation. Gracious, loving, caring, giving God, we give you thanks. You have given us abundantly, and too often we fail to appreciate it or convince ourselves that the good around us is our own doing. Help us remember, Lord, that all we have, all our gifts, our graces, our abilities, our families, and the very world around us are gifts from you. We come before you acknowledging that we are a people with feet of clay. We struggle to do the right things. We struggle to walk the path. And we stumble. We stumble and we fall. We bruise. Sometimes we even exclaim in anger. And yet you are with us. We give you thanks, Lord, that you travel with us in each moment, through each event. Both those times of crisis and loss and prayer for the many things in the world around us, but also those times of celebration. You are with us, and your presence is a balm to us, a gift to us, and a guiding light. We offer ourselves, Lord, your people, as we stand before you. We offer ourselves to follow Christ, to try and walk that path. We haven't made it perfectly yet, Lord, but we are on the way to perfection. We are trying. We are growing. We work each moment, each day to offer you to the world, to grow ourselves in you. Lord, gather with us and hear our prayers as we lift the prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you for your offerings. Thank you for the way you support the church by your gifts and graces, by your work, by your prayers, and your presence. Most of all, by your strength of personality. Be the people of Christ. Go out into the world and offer him. Amen? Amen. Let's turn to our gospel lesson.
Stand if you are able for the reading of the gospel. This is Luke 17, 1 through 6. Jesus said to his disciples, Occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. If it would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard.
I think we've got a...
Wrong one.
It's wrong in the bulletin. That's probably mine. Paya, tell us what it is. It's I am so sorry. Mea culpa. 11 through 19. 17, 11 through 19.
This might be easier. Jesus cleanses 10 lepers. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through this region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. They called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Then he saw them. He said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they?" Was none of them found in return and gave praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well."
Thank you, Sam.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So remain standing, turn to faith we sing. I was there to hear your warning cry, 2051.
Well, Sandy did not make that mistake. I did. I put it in the bulletin wrong. I'm retired. We heard in the Jeremiah passage, we didn't have it on the screen, but you heard Jeremiah sharing the word of the Lord. He's sharing what God was telling the people. Now, we have to back up and remember that this is the period, this is the diaspora period. The Jews have been conquered, and Cyrus of Persia has taken all of the cream of the nation, has hauled them off to Babylon. They are living as prisoners, as conquered ones. They are in diaspora. And they're trying to maintain their religion. You can imagine the struggle that must have been. How do you remain good, faithful Jewish amongst a people that are totally different religions, a whole culture that's different? And it was a full generation. It was a long period of time there. And the people were worried, are we going to get just assimilated? Syncretization is, excuse me. Welcome fall. But that assimilation that comes when you begin to intermarry. Think about that a moment. You're a faithful Jewish family and you've got daughters, but they marry men of the culture. Which religion are they going to follow? There's this danger of merging, of being absorbed, being, again, assimilated. And so some of the priests and leaders of the community were very forcefully urging them, keep yourself separate. Don't be involved. Wait, because the Lord will return us. And Jeremiah came with the word of the Lord that said, yes, the time will come when you will be returned to your homeland. But in the meantime, grow where you're planted. Prosper where you are. Give your sons into marriage. Let your daughters marry into those around there. Invest in the society around you. Be a part of that. Be an active, vital part of growing that, because that society is supporting you. It was a word that probably a lot of the Jews were startled to hear, because they had maintained a culture with such high, strict boundaries around their religion, around their faith. You were either in or you were out. There was no in between. I look at our world today and I'm seeing a permeable boundary between church-going Christians and Christians that really are Christians by name alone, that are baby Christians. I have no criticism thereof, but they're not very well informed of the faith. They don't have the background. They don't have the depth. They don't have all of the understandings. They haven't studied the parables. I would guess out of every 10 people you meet on the street, if you asked about the Good Samaritan, the majority of them would think Samaritans were good people, that they were favored people. It's a Good Samaritan in the Bible. And yet the Good Samaritan is just the opposite of that. This is a Samaritan is an outcast, was one that nobody would have anything to do with. You were forbidden to interact with Samaritans. They were a ritually unclean. Their nation was unclean ritually. Whenever I talk about this, I think I should find a common analogy for today. But I have hesitated, because to name a group as a group that we hate together is to go in a direction that is unacceptable, if that makes sense. But think about people that are the ones that we avoid, whether we should or not, the ones that we don't have anything to do with, those other ones, those were the Samaritans. And so here it is, the people interacting with all kinds. Jeremiah's word is the opposite of what everyone expected. They were supposed to prosper where they were. Now, why would you invest and put your effort and your energy into building up Babylon? This is the country that captured you, that conquered you, that has dragged you away. But God's words direct them. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For in its welfare you will find your welfare. There's an interesting message here. The Lord is with them wherever they are. The Lord is with us wherever we are. Sometimes we don't feel like that. We feel like, you know, out there in the world, we want to come back into this church sanctuary, back where God is. But the minute we all walk out of here, God isn't here. God is out there with us. And sometimes we need to think that through. It's like teachers. Some kids, young kids especially, believe that their teachers live at the school. They see them there, you know, I thought you lived right here. And that sense that this is where they are. But I can assure you that when we are all absent from this place, God isn't sitting here by God's self. God is out there in our midst. Amen. there is a wider message as well, and that is prosper where you're planted when you're planted. When I first came into the conference, it's been a while. This was in 1988. I was ordained a deacon. And at that point in time, we were almost all men, all the clergy of our conference. It was interesting to go to annual conference and sing hymns. It was all these deep bass and baritone voices. It was strong voices, but it wasn't until we began to see a growth of the female clergy that our voices balanced. And so to sing together was truly harmonic. It was a beautiful thing. But in those early days, there was a system of the itinerancy. You know that I am just an itinerant preacher. Or it used to be till I retired. Now that I'm retired, I don't have to itinerate. So itinerate means that if the bishop calls you up on the phone and says, tomorrow you're moving to a new church, that I would have to go. And I know a few preachers that did have to happen to them. On the spur of the moment, literally in a week's time, they moved from one church to another unexpectedly. It didn't happen often, thankfully, because that's awfully hard on preachers and families. But the other part of that was that preachers were moved around. How many pastors has Burns had? I should have counted before this sermon, but there's a bunch. 3 years, 4 years, 2 years, 5 years, 6 years. I'm beginning to get to be one of the long ones here. I've been here since 2015. How many years is that, Mark? 20. A bunch. Too long? At any rate, it used to be that if you were changed every couple of years, and when you were changed, you were moved to a church with a little better salary, maybe a little more affluent, maybe a little more prestigious. So the clergy would come into the conference and they would try and jump through as many of those little churches that they could quickly to get up to the church that they wanted to be in. They were ready to serve the church, but they were stuck in this little podunk church waiting for the right move, the right appointment to that church. A lot of churches suffered from that. And the conference actually attempted to implant a law that said that if you stayed less than 10 years, you paid a fine. It got voted down. At any rate, that's not the same anymore. If you ask for a change, you may be looking at a change up or a change down, a change from a larger church to a smaller church, to a more preferred location, to a lesser preferred location. But that sense of waiting till you're there is pertinent. I'm a bit of a tinkerer. I don't know if you knew that. But I've always wanted to have a shop set up so I could really tinker. A shop that was a shop set up to tinker in. And I've been doing this since I was in high school. I remember working in all different places. One of the places I worked in was a garage with two cars in it. And somehow I managed to build a dovetail bookcase in there that's beautiful. I have to, I pause some days and look at it and think, wow, I did a darn good job. And I did it not in a nicely outfitted shop, but I did it where I was. In the midst of where I was planted, I was able to prosper. I have to remember that sometimes. I have to back up and say, I'm here now. What can I do? And I can do this much and not wait for what will be. There is no biding our time waiting till it's due with the Lord. You remember what he said? The thief comes in the night. Act now. It's been interesting to be retired because I always thought, when I'm retired, I will. And I had a list of things to do. Now that I see some retired people, Richard Sneer has spoiled me. I'll never completely retire like Richard is. I don't think I have the energy. He is the busiest, hardest working person I know of, and you're doing it wrong, Richard, as far as I can tell. I don't know. We are blessed and we are grateful for the work you do, so I'm being satirical here. But nonetheless, what is it that I am not doing that I would do if that time comes? So be thankful now. Prosper now. And oddly, this ties in with that other scripture that Sandy almost didn't read. She took off on the millstone sermon, which I preached on last week, and I thought, since I'm preaching on that, I guess I better interrupt her. I apologize for interrupting you in the middle of reading, Sandy, but the Samaritans, the 10 lepers, and one of them is a Samaritan. That's an interesting piece, and it comes at the very end of this story. There are these 10 lepers, and they turn to the Lord and say, "Heal us, Lord. Who among us, when we are ill, has not prayed, Lord, heal me, help me, fix me?" And such is appropriate and such is all right. But Jesus responds, and his response is interesting. Instead of doing some ceremony and say, "You are healed," he says, "Go and show yourself to the priests." Well, is this reinforcing the priests and showing that the priests can heal them? The text catches this right there. As they went, they were made clean. In obeying his directive, he cleansed them. So they all go, they're all cleansed. You can imagine being cleansed of leprosy. Leprosy wasn't just a disease that was troubling and fatal eventually, but it meant you were an outcast. You could not be a part of society. You had to stay away from. When you walked into a town, you had to shout, "Unclean, unclean," so people could move away from you. It was an awful existence. And here that has all changed. They have been cleansed. They have been renewed. They have been brought back into community. Life-changing. And not because they asked, but because they were obedient and did what he directed. Go, show yourself to the priests. And when they were obedient, they were made clean. Hooray, celebrations, parties, congratulations, reuniting, reunions, all kinds of wonderful things. And they all went on their way, except the one Samaritan. The Jews, all of them, the other nine were all Jewish, faithful Jews. You would expect that these are good church people. Do we sometimes do the same thing? We are part of God's family. Do we take for granted the things? Do we not pause often enough and say, "Lord, thank you for this"? I don't know. But graphically, the Good Samaritan comes back to give thanks, and Jesus says to him, "Were there not 10 of you made whole? Where are the other 9? So the message is kind of a blend of, we are here. We are blessed to be here. We give thanks. And now is the time to be the Christians we're called to be, to prosper, to grow where we're planted, to be the people we're called to be, and never take God's love and God's grace for granted. Amen? Amen. Mark, Melba, sing us if you would.
So please stand up if you're able. Turn to your hymn note to 585, and we'll be singing "This Little Light of Mine." I'm going to let it shine.
Thank you, Mark. Melba?
Everyone?
Kind of wanted to be in a concert and hold your lighter up and jam. Kids do that today. I'm not quite sure what that's all about, but we are supposed to be letting our lights shine. Do you do that? Sometimes I am not as good at that as I ought to be. Sometimes I'm not as open and welcoming and expressive to let people know that I love the Lord and the Lord loves me. In the name of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let your light shine in the world. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Join hands, if you will. Let's sing our closing.
God.